Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Chris Barnhart, now joined by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Will's in and out these days. He had every intention of being here today, texting me about today's show, and then he got caught up with some work-related stuff.
Yeah, some programming stuff. You know, this is what happens when you're a big wig like Will is.
It happens,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
When you're important, people need a piece of you at
That's
all times.
Right.
All right, so tech football news. I guess we'll start with the news late last week. I've talked so much about this, and it's not that it's a topic that I don't think is worth discussing. We've just talked so much about it. But I would love your thoughts on the legacy of Jim Weaver. Passed away last week. Sad news in Hokie Nation.
Yeah.
Longtime AD. Left an indelible mark on the athletics department. What do you think about Jim's tenure there? Because for all the criticism I think he's taken lately, folks do tend to overlook a lot of the good work that he did.
Absolutely. His business acumen as far as managing money and while also building facilities is pretty incredible. I mean, how many multi-millions of dollars did we spend on facilities over there? I mean, how much did the South End Zone, the West Side expansion, the new basketball facility, practice fields, weight rooms, everything like that, all that stuff, and yet he also decreased Virginia Tech's debt by 40 million over his
35 or 40%, I think.
Something like that. I mean, just an incredible job financially, and I think he's left the infrastructure and the foundation in better shape than he found it. And that's all you can ask when you hire a guy in whatever capacity, whether it's running a company, whether it's running an athletic department, whether it's coaching a team. Leave us in a better position than when you found us. If you do that, then overall, on the whole, you've done a good job.
I think so. $250 million in facilities upgrades. You know, you can't directly attribute the entry into the ACC to Jim because there were a lot of politics at play when that happened. But he was steering the ship. It was under his leadership that a lot happened. You can talk about the James Johnson hire. Folks still criticize him for the Dennis Wolf hire. You know, mm-hmm. That's a chapter that's yet to be completely written. So we'll wait and see there. But you can't forget he hired Kevin Dresser. He hired Pete Hughes, promoted Chugger Adair. You know, he did some great things in personnel too. So he's a guy that my interactions with him personally were nothing but positive. And my thoughts and prayers out to his family. I'm sure you share the same sentiment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regardless of what you think of the man professionally, you know, the family lost their father, their husband. So he's a big part of the community, the university, and he'll be honored in some way, I'm sure, in the near future. As you know, David Teal suggested naming a building or some structure after Mr. Weaver would be the most fitting tribute to his legacy, and I would tend to agree.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I know there's still some construction projects going on. I think they're going to build a softball hitting facility, but since the baseball team has one, I think softball is going to have one. Maybe that would be a possibility, something like that. I don't know, but yeah, the man. Was Virginia Tech's athletic director from 1997 through, 2013?
Right.
That is a long time.
Yes, it is.
That's a long time.
It absolutely is. So that happened last week. What happened yesterday, difficult segue here, but Shai McKenzie was sentenced to 12 months in jail with 11 months, 15 days suspended. So I think starting next Friday, he reports to jail for a 15-day jail sentence. Did have one misdemeanor charge dropped. Mike Barber and I talked about this yesterday. Honestly, I was surprised that he got 15 days in jail. Now, I'm not saying that the punishment didn't fit the crime. I'm just saying that what I was expecting was not a 15-day jail sentence. I didn't really know what to expect. I guess we're just so unaccustomed to seeing jail sentences, you know, with players getting in trouble that it took me by surprise a little bit. But your thoughts on the punishment here, but I think even more so when it comes back to football. Mike's sources informed him yesterday that coaches and administrators expect McKenzie back with the team when fall camp opens up. I don't know if he plays this year, if he starts. I have no idea. What are your thoughts?
I'm actually including this in today's Friday Q&A, which was posted this afternoon. But the thing is about McKenzie, I wasn't expecting this punishment either, but I kind of agree with it.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you have to send a message.
I mean, look,
you're a college football player. You can't be messing around in situations that involve alcohol, sex, and high school freshmen or sophomores.
No.
You can't be doing that.
Mm-mm.
I would not kick him off the team. I would bring him back. I would suspend him for this season, and I would make it very clear that his behavior was unacceptable. Bring him back this season, hopefully with a fresh perspective and quite frankly a healthier knee.
Yeah.
and see what happens next year. But I would not play him this year. I would not do that.
Do you think they're stable enough at the running back position. That stable is stable enough that Shy McKenzie can redshirt and they'll be all right there.
I mean, if you have to depend on a guy who's had two torn ACLs over the last 2 years, then I think you're in pretty bad shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think their stable's good enough where they can still go win football games without Shy McKenzie.
What do you expect in terms of Marshawn Williams? I mean, he also suffered a serious knee injury and missed the rest of the season, and who knows how long he was going to be out or if he'll be ready. I know we'll get an update on all these guys officially before too long, but, you know, should anyone have high expectations of Marshawn Williams this season?
I'm not personally. I think there's a chance he's better at the end of the season than he is at the beginning, but you got to remember he had that surgery in December. He didn't have it middle of the season like Shy McKenzie did, so that's a fairly late surgery. He seems to be taking his rehab very seriously. I think he tweeted a couple months back that he was down to 215 pounds or something like that, which is a good thing, because if he was still carrying 230, 235 pounds while rehabbing that knee, then I don't think the rehab progresses as quickly as it would if he's at 215. And maybe he needs to get a little bit more explosive anyway. He's obviously already very naturally powerful, but I'm in a wait-and-see approach with him. I'm planning on him playing this year, but I'm still in a wait-and-see approach, and I could see it going either way. Those guys are young players. You don't risk it, I don't think. There's no reason to rush them back. They have redshirt years available to take, and you have a junior in Trey Edmonds. You have a senior in J.C. Coleman. Trayvon McMillan looked good in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
I just see no reason to rush that.
So that's the rotation that you would expect week one against Ohio State is Edmonds, Coleman, and McMillan.
Yeah, I think so. And quite frankly, I'm very pleased with it. I don't like to see guys get hurt, but honestly, I think the last few years, Virginia Tech has needed help narrowing down their running back rotation. I think they've tried to play too many guys, and I think they've tried to practice too many guys, give too many guys reps, and I think it's hard to get in a rhythm. It's even hard to evaluate when, you know, you're looking at a scrimmage and you're trying to evaluate Trayvon McMillan versus DJ Reed, and well, guess what? They both only have three or four carries in the scrimmage. How can you really evaluate three or four carries? You know, so I just think that there's too many reps going around in the past, and if Virginia Tech knows who their top two or three running backs are, I think it's a lot tougher to screw that up. I think it helps the running backs get into a rhythm. We saw that last year. J.C. Coleman was the only running back. He was a running back by default at the end of the year. Got into a rhythm. Obviously, the offensive line was blocking a lot better, too. But I don't know if we have as much success running the football at the end of the year if we're trying to bring in four or five different tailbacks in a game like we have at times the past couple of years.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's – and I don't know how viable he is to play this year or to get serious reps in game situations. I don't know quite yet, but I was impressed with DJ Reed, what little we saw him.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. Yeah, I think he did a nice job too. I think they want him to drop a little bit of weight, maybe down to 220 or something like that. I think he was around 231, I think is what he checked in at during the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Get him a little quick. He's already a big guy. If you're 220, I don't think you, and 6 feet tall, I don't think you really need to be 230. But if you can lose that 10 pounds and that adds a lot of explosiveness to your game, then I think you do that. So if they can get him to drop some weight, then yeah, I think he could potentially have a future as well, because he showed me some things. And particularly, I thought he had a pretty good spring game.
How, if at all, do they utilize Joe Caleb? Because I guess, you know, there was some talk about him moving back to wide receiver.
I think he is
spring.
Back to wide receiver. Remember, he did move, right?
He did, but I mean, we didn't know if that was going to be a lasting ordeal. And I said at the time, you and I talked about this back in spring, I said, you know, he's been there a little bit. It's not brand new to him. He's got good hands. Mm-hmm. He showed that out of the backfield a couple of times. He's big. He seems to seek contact when he's got the ball in his hands. If things could click for him in wide receiver in some way, I think that could be a big addition to that course. You think he sticks there?
I think he sticks there. I think where he fits on the depth chart and how effective he'll be is one question, but I don't think there's a spot for him at running back on this team. I think that's obvious by now. I mean, he spent the last 2 years trying to beat out Trey Edmonds, J.C. Coleman, you know, Marshawn Williams, Shy McKenzie, and he hasn't been able to do it. So what makes you think he's going to be able to do it this year?
Well, and you all, I think it was you made a good point about it back in the spring, too, that when he made that slide over, you said he's probably already the best blocking wide
Absolutely.
Receiver we have right
yeah.
now. So and that matters. I mean, that was how many big plays didn't go for big plays last season because wide receiver blocking was, quite frankly, inadequate.
You get one block against Wake Forest, you win that game
right.
on that Bucky Hodges pass. And you know, not that one touchdown would have been exceptional against Wake Forest, but it would have won the football game, and ultimately that's most important. So, yeah, blocking on the edge is extremely important. And you know, when people look at wide receivers and they look at their catches and things like that, but what they don't see is the blocking. And you remember guys in the past. I mean, Jared Boykin was a great blocker. Danny Cole would lock people up all day long. Eddie Royal, despite his size, was really strong in the upper body, and he was a great blocker. And all those teams were really good blocking on the edge, and this team probably cost itself, I'm guessing, 40 to 50 yards a game by not being able to block the edge this past year.
It's a problem.
It was a problem. It probably cost us at least one, maybe two football games.
I want to see who fills out this wide receiver rotation, because we know about Cam. We know about Isaiah Ford. You know, Dimitri Knowles is going to be back. He's going to play. You know, how much, we're not sure. Kevin Asante looks like he's going to factor in some way, but... you know, what about Jalen Bradshaw? What about even Charlie Meyer? You know, who's going to help fill this thing out? I don't know. I mean, I think on the offense, that's far and away the biggest depth issue outside of offensive line.
I think so, too. I really like Jalen Bradshaw, but he was hurt so much this spring that, you know, you couldn't really get a read on his abilities or how advanced he's gotten. So this summer's big for him. August is going to be big for him. I really think Cam Phillips would make an ideal slot receiver. He's not the most athletic guy in the world, but he really knows how to find the soft spots in a zone. He's too athletic for linebackers to cover him, and even some safeties maybe. I think he's ideal to play the slot, but the problem there is you would need another outside receiver to help enable him to play the slot. You could use Bucky Hodges out there, but you know, ideally maybe a Joel Caleb steps up there, or... you know, you recruit an Eric Kuma who will be here next year, and maybe he's good enough right away to play out there, and then you can move Cam Phillips inside to the slot. But they need a couple more pieces there. But because when you look at that wide receiver depth chart, I mean, it is literally Ford and Phillips and then everybody else. There's nobody behind them that's proven. You know, Deion Newsome got a lot of playing time last year, but not as a true receiver. They never really let him run a route.
Right,
throw some flares to him, hand it to him on a reverse. Displayed very limited knowledge of the passing game, which is expected of a guy who had never played wide receiver before. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a very important position. We need to establish some depth there. But we're also in a lot of trouble if one of those top two guys gets hurt.
Okay. All right. So he alluded to recruiting there. We'll take a break. We'll come back. So we got some recruiting questions for Chris when we return. Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. He's in with us for all of hour two. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.